have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Have you noticed that opposites are often attracted to one another? Sometimes short people are attracted to tall people, and vice versa. Our son, Scott, lives in Chandler, Arizona, and he is 6'5". He is married to Dina, who is 5 feet tall if she stretches. And even though you can see a picture from several years ago how short Dina is right next to Scott, I hope you can see that. Even though it looks a little bit strange, like Mutt and Jeff, when they stand next to each other, they make a very good team, however, because they've been married for 22 and a half years. Have you ever known someone who was completely disorganized to marry or just be friends with another person who is a neat freak? Some of you may remember the old TV show, The Odd Couple. Jack Klugman played the part of a sports writer, Oscar Madison, and he was a complete slob. And Tony Randall played the part of a fastidious commercial photographer, Felix Unger. Certainly he had it all together, at least from an organizational standpoint. Now you would think that friends who were so different in this aspect would just never make it. And there were many times on that TV show that they certainly had their major differences. Many people would say they just don't belong together. Have you ever known someone who was an intellectual to be attracted, either friend or couple, to a person who was not the sharpest knife in the drawer? And you might wonder, what do they talk about? How do they relate? And some people would say that friendship or marriage will never last. They just don't belong together. And you can probably think of other opposites that are strangely attracted to one another. And sometimes those relationships last for many years. And other times those relationships do not last very long, because that initial attraction of differences devolves into irreconcilable animosities. So why did Jesus build his church with opposites? And I have in mind particularly with Jews and Gentiles. The law of Moses was directed to Jewish people. And we read in Romans the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 3, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are the fathers and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever." You know, Jewish descendants were born into a covenant relationship with God simply because they had Jewish parents. And therefore, they had to be taught about God and his laws that were particular to them. We also know that there were some proselytes to the Jewish faith. They were Gentiles who were converted to Judaism, but they were regarded by the purebred Jew as second-rate people. They'd never be as good as the full Jew. They would never be as godly, at least in their own minds. You know, this reminds me of a bleak time in the history of our nation and even the Lord's church. There was a time when blacks were regarded as slaves, slaves to white people. And I can remember, and you might be able to, when some people who call themselves Christians said that blacks had no souls. What a terrible and ungodly belief about any person who is created in the image of God. And that applies to all human beings, regardless of their race. Jesus changed all of this. Although the first converts to Christianity were Jews, God's predetermined plan from the beginning was to include all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, in his church. In the passage that we looked at earlier, Paul said this was accomplished through Jesus Christ, who came through the Jewish lineage. Again, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. "In Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off," that would be the Gentiles, "have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity," or the hatred, "which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." Boy, the Jews just had a great difficulty with that. They felt that they were superior to those who were the Gentiles. And then Paul writes about how that they are one in the body of Christ. "Through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." So to tell the Jews that they were not superior, But they were all one in the body of Christ, a dwelling of God in the Spirit. They were one together, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit when they were baptized. There were not any longer Jews and Gentiles in the church. They were all Christians. Paul even takes this argument all the way back to Abraham, the father of faith, the father of all nations. In Galatians chapter 3, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. That's not what the Jews wanted to hear. But that was the truth that Paul was revealing to these people. Now, literally, there were still Jews and there were still Greeks, but in the body of Christ, they were one. There were still slaves and there were still free men, but in the body of Christ, they were one. They certainly continued to be male and female, but in the body of Christ, they were just one. So why did our holy God want to adopt sinful people, that is, opposites, to be his children? Our God is holy and pure and righteous and sinless and many other descriptions that we could give of God. And he took the initiative in loving us, even when we were sinners, even when we were unlovable. And this is a wonderful mystery, which is difficult for us to understand. And the reality is, we don't have to understand it. All we have to do is accept it. In Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Aren't you thankful that God did that? You know, we are the Gentiles. We are the ones who were accepted by God. We are the ones for whom God broke down that barrier or that dividing wall so that we could all be part of the church. And it isn't because we are so good that God chooses us. But he chooses us because he is so good. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And can you imagine, as Paul was writing this letter, and as they received the letter, and the letter was read, that those who were Jews would say, "What is he talking about? We're great people. We're wonderful. We're better than the others." And he says, there is none who is righteous. Not even one. Jew or Gentile, we're all sinners. That had to be a difficult thing for them to comprehend. That had to be an extremely, extremely difficult thing for them to accept, that the Gentiles were just as good as they were, or that they were no better than the Gentiles. You know, there are people who probably say they don't belong together. And my reference here is to you and to me and God. That in reality, we don't belong together. They're really correct. But thanks be to God. He makes us righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result, we are adopted into his spiritual family. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in many respects, we are not like God. We are opposites. But with his aid, with the blood of his son Jesus Christ, we are becoming more like him every day. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The more time that we spend with God, the more time that we spend with the Word of God, the more time that we spend with our godly brothers and sisters in Christ, the more holy we become and the more like God. We are to be different. We are to be different from the world. We are to be peculiar people. Peculiar in the sense that we follow after the teachings of God and Jesus Christ and the apostles, and we're not caught up in the world. But how easy that is for us to be caught up in the world. There may be some here this morning who realize that you're not living as you ought to live, that you're not being holy as God is holy. And we hope if that's your case that you will come forward and you will ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters, and God will forgive you of your sins. If there's anyone who needs to be baptized into Christ, we hope that you will come forward and that you will be baptized so that your sins can be washed away and you can be holy. You can be different from the world. If you have any need, won't you come while we stand and sing?